The Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get him, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Landry with us, LandryFootball.com. I'll let you know how you can get his service. Chris, I forgot to ask you the other day. We were on the phone together. Where are you? You're on the road, I know.
West Shrine practices this week and then the Senior Bowl next week. So the All-Star draft prospect All-Star game circuit is kind of what I'm normally do this time of year. So in St. Petersburg this week and Mobile next week.
Oh, gotcha.
Next week, excuse me.
Gotcha. Well, a lot of things I'm sure the audience wants to hear from you. Let's begin with Jalen Hurts. It's announced he's transferring to Oklahoma. They've kind of had the magic wand up there, Lincoln Riley. Talk about what Lincoln Riley can do with Jalen Hurts. His passing prowess has been a question. What can they do together there to make that right?
Well, the reason why I think it's such a really good move for Jalen is that if you look at what Lincoln did from Baker Mayfield to Kyler Murray, those two are completely different quarterbacks in that they had immeasurable success with both of them. So whatever Jalen has in his arsenal, and it's different than those other two, he's not as good a passer as Baker, and he's a different style of athlete and passer than Murray. Whatever he has in him, I'm very comfortable in saying Lincoln Riley is going to get out of him. Now, I don't think that it's as good. He will be as effective because I don't think he's as talented athletically as Murray, and Murray can fling it. He's got a very quick release. He doesn't anticipate or throw it as well as Baker Mayfield, but both of those guys were a little different. So I think we'll see a little bit of a different approach in terms of how they kind of tailor what they do with it. But this scheme is so tailor-made for what a guy like Jalen can do in terms of up-tempo, and it creates so much spacing and coverage that, quite frankly, it's very easy to throw the football in it. And, you know, Murray was someone that he didn't anticipate very well. When guys came open, he threw the football, which you can't get away with that in the NFL, but it is something that you can do very effectively in this style of offense. So I would expect that Jalen will improve as a passer. Certainly his numbers will, and you see the element of being able to run the football with a little bit more power, less athletic quickness than Kyler Murray. But I'm excited for him. I think he'll have success. I don't think it's going to be like Heisman Trophy level success, that type, but I think he'll be very, very successful.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Since we last talked last Thursday, Kyler Murray has declared for the NFL. So you're on the road, you're always scouting, you're always talking to coaches. What's the thinking about where, and obviously we don't know what team, but where he'll be taken? Is it for sure that it's the first round? Because that's the gamble he's making here.
Well, I said last week, you know, and I've said this, and some people are starting to pick this up now. I felt all along this is a negotiating ploy by Murray and his agent, Scott Boras, his baseball agent. You know, he wants to get as much as he can out of the A situation, and if they don't come with a really good offer that he's comfortable with, he has the football option to go to, and he can play that as long as he wants to, because, you know, he can get drafted and play and then decide he wants to go play baseball later. He can do that. So he has the leverage that others are not afforded. As a football player, you know, a lot of people in the league haven't really studied him enough. I probably have more, and certainly with the teams that I'm involved with, I don't like him as much as other people do as a pro prospect. He is short, and that will be a factor. He is short, like he's 5'9" short, and he's not a great passer. He's a great passer in college. That's a big difference. He can throw the football, but he's more of a thrower than a passer. I think he's going to have a lot of adjustment to make to the pro style in terms of being able to make plays in the pocket and being able to anticipate. He doesn't anticipate very well. Now, do I think he can make it as a quarterback in the NFL? Yes, I do. Do I like him enough to take him really high in the first round? I do not. Some may. Would I consider taking him as long as baseball is on the table? I wouldn't even consider it until the later rounds just to have his rights, because I'm not going to take a guy unless I know with certainty that he's going to play football, and certainly at the quarterback position. Because there's none of this, he's going to play baseball part-time and play football. You cannot do that and play quarterback in the NFL. That is no chance. It's completely off the table. So, and again, the risk there, he can tell you all he wants, unless he's willing to sign a waiver that's going to get his entire money back if he goes back to baseball, there's just no reason to it's not trusting him, but he always has that option to go back to baseball, which would make me very leery to go down that path with Tyler.
Chris Landry with us Thursdays in this slot, LandryFootball.com. A lot of other topics. Let's revisit something. Alabama and Nick Saban. Nick's a guy that you knew up in Cleveland. You've known him probably longer than many people out there. Sounds like Tosh Lupoi now is leaving. And I do think that was in the works, Cleveland. And that means this entire staff's going to be gutted off a 14-1 team and a team that was record levels of good offensively. What's Nick thinking here?
Well, you know, here's the thing about the offense, and this is my view. It may be in the minority. You know, I think fans got really caught up into the high-flying offense.
Right.
Personally, I think that they lost a little bit of their identity. I thought, you know, what people have to understand is that once you become up-tempo, high-flying offense, score a lot, you put your defense on the field for more snaps, and you put your defense on the field with shorter interviews between intervals between series, you're not going to be as good defensively. And I thought they lost a little bit of their physicality, and I think that, you know, people don't pay attention to it until you lose a game. But the vulnerability was there all year. There just wasn't anybody good enough to beat them. Georgia was capable but couldn't do it. And Clemson did. I mean, you know, it is nothing against what they did, because, again, people look at it as, well, they scored a bunch of points. To me, it's the really great teams can run the four-minute offense well and score, go on 4, 5, 6, 7-minute drives and compress the game and keep your defense fresh. And to me, that's dominant football, and that's what Alabama is best at. And I think that when you get into a little bit of an up-tempo and high-scoring offense and your defense becomes a little vulnerable, then you, I think, become vulnerable at the highest level, which is, you know, listen, had Clemson not been as good, Alabama would have probably won it again this past year. The year before, you know, let's remind folks that while Tua didn't start the game, and you shouldn't have expect the dynamics that resulted in him winning the game, let's remind folks that he threw a lot of bad passes and made a lot of mistakes in that game. Georgia dropped two interceptions in the second half, or else we're talking about perhaps Alabama losing twice in the championship game. My point is the offense to me was good because Tua and the playmakers made it look good. I never felt that Mike Locksley was a good fit for Nick. I that was one that had success in terms of points, but I never thought that was a great fit personally. Now, it worked out a lot better because they can overcome it with talent. So, and obviously Mike left for the right reason to go to be a head coach. Dan Enos, I thought, had some merit as a play caller, but Nick felt like he wasn't ready for that. And Nick made some decisions last year based on recruiting. Josh Gattis, bringing him in. Certainly Mike was a really good recruiter because of the fact they didn't have as successful recruiting class the year before. Really good, but not the best in the country. So therefore he reacted to that. Personally, I think he overreacted. And I don't think from a technical and a play calling and a game planning standpoint, they were as good. And Nick didn't either. That's on offense and on defense. Josh Lapoy is not really ready to be a play caller, but wanted to keep him as a recruiter, and so he did. I think this is a great move for Tosh to go to Cleveland with the Browns because he can learn a little bit more about on-the-field coaching, because in the NFL, you have to really be a superior coach because the talent level is more evenly dispersed. I don't know that it's a great fit for the Browns, but it's great for Tosh to learn that because that's where he's a little bit lacking or a little bit green. It's not that he's lacking in ability, just doesn't have the experience. So in short, Nick is trying to get guys that he's a little bit more comfortable with, that he's had experience with, and that are a little bit better in the development side, and hopefully not sacrifice some recruiting elements. But most of the move, like Gattis, was not going to be, certainly he wasn't going to promote him to be the coordinator. And he wasn't, as I mentioned, as comfortable as maybe I might have been with Dan Enos as the play caller. So, it makes sense that Dan is going to go to Miami and he can be the coordinator for a guy that is a defensive head coach. It's that he can have, everything that he wants. And anybody that knows how the Nick Saban situation works is guys want to go there and work, get it on their resume. But quite frankly, they want to get out of there as quickly as they can and get the best job that they can, because it's more of a meat grinder than most places. So it's not exactly the love boat over there. So it's one of those cases where you've got to take advantage of it. Now, I will say this. He's working on a move defensively that I've been after him for a while to make a move, and we'll see if he can pull it off. I'm not sure if he can convince the guy to come. I can't say too much at this point, but there is a tremendous hire, off the charts good hire on the defensive side. I think it's going to be tough for him to pull it off personally, but we'll see. I don't mean to be so cryptic, but I don't want to mess things up or get in any trouble there. But we'll wait and see. Obviously, we'll find out soon enough. And if it doesn't work, I'll be glad to share, the details of it in another week or two. But this is probably the toughest stretch for him, as he's had to replace a lot of coaches last year. But let's see how it plays out. I think that the offensive side, people say, oh, nothing was wrong with it. It's not anything was wrong with – nothing was wrong with the offense other than the fact that they won because the quarterback with really good pass protection could extend plays and they could play a little, schoolyard football with those receivers getting open. But in terms of the ability to see defenses and to adjust to post-snap reads, that's not something that Tua really progressed with all year long. And it caught him in the championship game. Other teams couldn't take advantage of it. Clemson did. So it's not a reaction just to the Clemson game, but it's a reaction of they got away with some things that I think he felt like he needs to get better with. And by the way, if Tua's going to be the type of pro player that some people are hoping he can be, he's going to have to become a lot better at seeing the defense, because everything he does is pre-snap read and run RPOs, which is, quite frankly, not very difficult. And you can get a lot of people to teach that. And I think a lot of the credit with the explosive offense had to do with, you know, maybe it went to some of the coaching. And I don't think they did a poor job at all, but I think they could do a lot better in terms of how they go about playing what I call complementary football. And that's the key. I don't think 50 points is necessarily good offense. I think good offense is, you know, maybe 30 points in controlling the game with ball control and finishing sustained drives with 7 points, as opposed to going up and down the field, where even in the Oklahoma game, Bill, in the playoffs, they had a big cushion, but there was a stretch there where if they didn't have an 11 or 18 point cushion, they were going to get in a shootout game with Oklahoma. And they didn't have that cushion against Clemson. And that, to me, is the difference. And that, to me, is what they need to get away from, because I think that makes them a little bit more vulnerable. And if you're Alabama, there's no reason to be vulnerable to anybody, because you can recruit the best players, and you've got to be able to get back to being dominant at the line of scrimmage and dominant physically, which I thought they lost a little bit of their way this year. And here I am talking about, you know, a team that you think maybe lost 4 games this year. It's not the case, of course, but, you know, you've got to be able to see through those things even when you win. And I think Nick has, and the one thing that people might not understand about the guy is that while he's hard-nosed and maybe tough to be around, the guy is not stubborn. The guy is willing to change. In fact, as I've kind of alluded to in this conversation, he probably changed a little bit too much the other way in overreacting to the recruiting. So he's trying to find that right combination, and we'll see how it plays out.
Chris, do you have a second or two on the other side? A couple other questions for you?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. I'll let you know how you can get his service. We'll get the break. Presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Hello, I'm Greg Pogue, and welcome to This Week in Ohio Valley Conference Basketball, presented by Puckett's Grocery and Restaurant, where the main ingredients are real food, real people, and real atmosphere. Eastern Kentucky's Nick Mayo is just 16 points shy of becoming the 18th member of the OVC's 2,000-point club. Once there, he would be the first player in OVC history to have 2,000 points, 700 rebounds, 200 assists, 100 block shots, and 100 made three-pointers in a career. Murray State's Ja Morant had 18 assists against UT Martin last week for a team record and the second most assist in a game in OVC history. He averages 10.7 assists per game, 2.6 per game more than second place nationally, and is second nationally with 11 double-doubles. Entering the week, Tennessee Tech was the last remaining undefeated women's team in league play at 4-0. It's the first 4-0 start for the Golden Eagles since 2004-05. For the fifth time this year, Murray State's Morant was named OVC Player of the Week, while Austin Peay's Jamari McGee was top newcomer. Belmont's Nick Muzinski was Freshman of the Week. Tennessee Tech's Jordan Brock was OVC Women's Player of the Week, while Murray State's Evelyn Adebayo was top newcomer. Murray State's Macy Turley was Freshman of the Week. The Tennessee State at Tennessee Tech game Thursday night, the men, is on nationally at ESPNU, while UT Martin Moorhead State doubleheader is on ESPN3, and all other games are on ESPN+. Visit OVCSports.com, your source for all league schedules, results, and news, and connect with the OVC on Facebook and Twitter, and at the league's fan-friendly blog, OVCExtra.com. Make plans to be at the Ford Center in Evansville for the 2019 OVC Basketball Championships presented by Myrtle Beach. For complete info and to purchase tickets, visit OVCSports.com/tickets. This has been This Week at OVC Basketball, presented by Puckett's Grocery and Restaurant, where the main ingredients are real food, real people, and real atmosphere. I'm Greg Pogue, wishing everybody a great week of OVC Basketball.
Nothing's more Tennessee than Puckett's Grocery and Restaurant, where live music meets slow-smoked barbecue, home-cooked veggies, country breakfast items, burgers, and more, with the kind of hospitality you'd expect to find in the South. With locations in downtown Nashville, Franklin, Murfreesboro, Chattanooga, and Columbia, Tennessee. If it's Gulf Coast seafood you're after, visit Puckett's Boathouse in downtown Franklin. Bring Puckett's to your next party. Whether it's a barbecue dinner or something traditional, Puckett's has catering for any party cravings. To learn more, go online, visit PuckettsGrocery.com.
50% of Americans have gum disease, and most of them don't know. That's dangerous. Many serious medical conditions, such as high blood pressure, are associated with gum disease. Routine dental exams can detect signs of high blood pressure, so it can be treated sooner. Delta Dental of Tennessee has group and individual plans that feature a wide network of dentists trained to spot health conditions connected to your mouth. Learn more at coveryourmouth.com.
Of Ideas is now open for your telephonic interactions. 888-702-5494. The Bill King Show.
Omni will be right over there in that area at the Southern Steak and Oyster tomorrow morning, 7 until 9. Charlie has the first hour. Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Couple things, Chris, and we'll let you get on with it. Josh Gattis being handed the coordinator job by Michigan. Now, that's not something he's done. He hadn't been a play caller, and Harbaugh's handing him, according to what we see now, the play calling duties, too. What do you think about that?
Well, I think Josh is a bright coach, as I mentioned, and this is kind of going back to the prior to the break, is not something that Nick was comfortable with. And I don't want to say Josh is not ready. I don't think that he was ready in the Alabama situation. In the Michigan situation, might be a little different in this regard. There's pressure to win at Michigan. At Alabama, you know, you got to win the national championship every year. It's tough. With Michigan, the one thing I think Josh might be able to do is help a little bit in the passing game, much needed help that they at Michigan. Now, how much is he going to be allowed to do, and give them full control, and how long does that play out, and do they have the personnel to do some of the things that he would like to do? And as you mentioned, in a play-calling situation, you'd normally like to have a little bit of more experience there. However, I think he brings some fresh ideas, which is a good thing. So it's a great opportunity for him. It's pressure, but for goodness sakes, that offense hasn't been very well constructed for some time. He's playing a little bit with house money there. I mean, I think there's I don't want to say that you can only go up, because I don't care where you are. It can always get worse. It can always get better. But I think that there's a greater margin of improvement there than there is decline, since that offense has been such poorly developed, I think, particularly as relates to the passing game for the past few years.
Peter, big Syracuse fan, wants to know if you have any information on their receiver, Jamal Custis, and also Chris Slayton, the defensive lineman.
Yeah, Custis has really done, and I've spent a lot of time with him. He's a big guy, 6'5"-ish and 220. And I think the guy has a really good chance. He's got good hands, and he's got pretty good catching, really good catching radius. So he's done a nice job here. He's done a really good job. Peter will be happy to know, quick plug here on the Rush the Field podcast every week. We take a state of the program when we kind of go back into the history of a college program and take it to where it is. And up on the website right now was Syracuse. So we kind of take some of the programs, tied the top 15, 20 teams of this past year. So, Peter, make sure you check that out. But, Jamal, both of those guys are doing good, particularly Custis.
Tell everybody how they can get all the information at LandryFootball.com.
And by the way, Kyle Phillips is doing some pretty good things, too, here at the bowl game. I thought you might be interested in that. Ryan Davis, the receiver, slot receiver from Auburn, doing a good job. Anyway, all the practice reports up on LandryFootball.com. You can get that along with anything, along with all the other the Senior Bowl this upcoming week. We'll break down what's going on in practices. We're getting ready to break out our NFL draft boards, free agency. obviously breaking down the conference championship games this weekend. And as far as college, what we focus on is a lot in our notebooks every day. We're tracking all this transfer information, the fits and the remaining coaching changes. All of that's taking place in the notebooks every day. And, of course, we'll be, as we go through the process of getting into the second wave of recruiting, we're going to, obviously, in our recruiting notebooks, keep everybody up to date there and then break down the recruiting classes even further once the final signing day is in the books. And then we begin grading the rosters in college as well as all our NFL stuff that involved free agency in the draft. So it's one-stop shopping football, folks. If you like football, you love LandryFootball.com. And good news, we've got the holiday special is over, but we've got another special that we think is just as good. It's the postseason savings special that you can take advantage of at LandryFootball.com. So it's postseason. It's the season's over in college, we know, but the NFL, we're getting towards the end. So we've got a little bit of a window here for you could take advantage of and get an entire year at a very discounted price. So check it out.
Appreciate you, Chris. We'll see you soon.
Hey, thanks, Bill. Take care.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. That is the purest football guy you're going to know. He is all football. Chris Landry. Twitter at Bill is King. We'll get back to that. Hobie, good friend Hobie down in Peachtree City. Let's check back in. He's a lawyer down there and a big dog fan, but he's been listening to the show for many years. So good to hear from Hobie again. 888-702-5494. Black is also on hold, so we'll get to him. We got to get the break first. Black will be bloviating. He'll need his time, so we've got to get the break on time to get him in here. So let's do it. Bottom of the hour. Coming right back. Presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
A multiple vehicle crash with injuries on I-40 east at Briley. Right lane still blocked. I-40 jammed from Central Pike to the Wilson County line. The I-40 eastern split also moving at single-digit speeds. A wreck is being cleared at Fessler's and Murfreesboro Pike. A collision on I-40 east at McCrory Lane is slowing everything west of that. I-65 is jammed north of Trinity. Dealing with stress? Escape with flotation therapy. Call Float Nashville at 615-567-7222. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-755-6390. That's 800-755-6390. 800-755-6390.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Five-State Forecast.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan Forecast. Showers across Music City today, a high of 61. Showers this evening, low 41. Clouds and sun Friday, high 52. Friday night, mostly cloudy. utilizing the resources of the Wiggleback Network. On Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Alvin Washington.
Sports Radio WNSR.
To know anything about college football, consult with the Encyclopedia Bill Tanaka every morning.
Out in the Nashville Hotel, Black, what is happening, sir?
Hey, man, how you doing, man? And Happy New Year to all the listeners, man. How you been?
We are good. How about you?
I'm okay, man. Hey, I watched a movie recently, and I can't – maybe it wasn't recently, but what they said was if you get feces on your clothes, they say don't rub it out. They say let it dry off and brush it off. Let it dry and brush it off. And that's a good metaphor for where we're at with Jim Harbaugh now, okay? So it's been four seasons, okay? Yeah. Four seasons they've lost. They haven't beaten any when they haven't done anything. And I saw something yesterday, and I'm like, man, these people are very disrespectful. They were asking who the best coach in the Big Ten is now that Urban Meyer has left. And they said Jim Harbaugh. Bill, I don't even put him at – I wouldn't put him at the fourth right now. You are not putting him over Mark D'Antoni. You're not doing that. I'm not going to let you all do that. Okay, Mark D'Antonio is stubborn, okay? He's a Youngstown, Northeastern Ohio. That Trestle family they're rigid in their thinking, and he's just going through something right now. But we cannot negate what that man came in there and done at a place that the great Nick Saban wasn't able to do it. You see what I'm saying? So I'm not going to allow y'all to disrespect that man like that right now. Now, we ain't going to put Ohio State up in there because Ryan Day has never been a coach. So I'm putting him at the one. Then I would put Kurt Ferentz and the dude out there in Wisconsin. I would put 2A, 2B. And then after that, I give James Franklin over Jim Harbaugh. The dude has been coaching since 1991. He has a Citrus Bowl, and he has an Orange Bowl, has never won a conference in his entire career. And his claim to fame is they call it the biggest upset in history. He beat a 9-4 Emerald Bowl USC team when they were on their way out the door. With Pete Carroll, the year right when sanctions were on their way, okay? So my whole point, where would you put him at? In the Big Ten right now.
Harbaugh?
Yes. Because we ain't going to put him – hey, don't mention him in the same – we got to see it. Don't put him in the same sentence as Urban Meyer. Don't bring him over because he'll get killed over there. Don't put him in his cage because you're going to go to jail for being irresponsible. Somebody who don't need to be in the cage with a killer in there with him. But go ahead. Answer my question.
I don't think there is a one-slot coach in the league right now. I mean, I don't know. You put D'Antonio in there. He's had two kind of mediocre years out of the last three.
No. But Harbaugh has had kind of mediocre career. So, yes, I'll put Mark there. Go look at what he's done and where he's done it and what he's done it with.
I put Scott Frost in the one slot. How about that?
Who was that? Oh, no. Hey, no. You're not going to be invasive with me. I'm asking you a question. Let's deal with this. Who was the number one team, the number one coach? So you're just going to go ahead and just wipe your recite Jim Harbaugh? All Jim Harbaugh got going for him is the way long pass. He ain't done nothing in the last 4 years.
Okay.
Mark D'Antonio should be there.
Pat Fitzgerald. I put him in the one slot. Coach Fitz.
No. Okay. Well, so my point, where would you put Jim Harbaugh at? I'm putting Chris ahead of him. I'm putting James Franklin ahead of him. I'm putting Kurt Ferentz ahead of him.
How many teams we got in that league? 14?
Yeah, you do not want to answer this question.
No, I don't. I don't know where I'd put him in. I mean, I'd have him in the upper half. I mean, they just won 10 games. That wasn't horrible.
No. See, listen. There you go. They won 10 games against who? No, don't go at you. Look at how this becomes such an accomplishment. Now, Ohio State, man, listen. Man, we were all standing hand in hand on the side of the doggone that Golden Gate Bridge about to jump off over losing one game each season. Two losses in two seasons. I mean, we were all going to commit group suicide. How the hell can they be held? How are y'all going to negate the fact that they had three games against three top 10 teams and they lost all three and didn't even have a hope of winning any of the three? So that ain't just losing, winning 10 games. They didn't win 10 games. They lost the three games that mattered, 100% on the games that mattered. So you're intentionally being deceptive and using that. You're not going to throw them stats. And I'm going to tell you something else. Were y'all sitting up here throwing around and acting like their roster is live like that? I've been telling y'all the last couple of years, but now you get to see it. I'm going to tell y'all something else. Watch this. Because I'm the one who told y'all when they went 8-5 last year what was going to happen. All right? Watch this. They had a bad recruiting class last year. Now you look at this year, it looks as if they had a good recruiting class. Ostensible means something that looked right on the surface, but it's flawed underneath. They had a big class, not high quality class. They can't compete with no top 10 team. They only got, right now, with Aubrey Solomon gone, they only got 2 5-stars on their whole squad. Shea Patterson and Donovan Peoples-Jones. Donovan Peoples-Jones is not even rated in the top 15 in the conference. Receiving wise, yeah, I know you want to hang up on me, dude. It's cool. Hey, whatever, man. Hey, be good. Hey, man, nice hollering, y'all, though.
See, I can't hang up on anybody. Charlie's got that. I have no hang up powers at all. I'm not near a button. See, I'm not gonna trash Harbaugh like he did. I think Harbaugh's a good coach. Is Michigan where we thought they would be after 4 years, et cetera? Obviously not. So I think there's various angles to this topic. But just to trash him, he was damn good at Stanford. He was damn good in the NFL. Is Michigan contending as much as we thought they would? No, they're not. That's accurate. I expected more. That's true. I thought they would draw even with Ohio State. Never said they would supplant them, but would draw even with them. They have not done that. And they don't look to be trending to doing that either. I'm just saying. Vince says, hey, Bill, I think Black works for CNN. Hashtag fake news. Jim in West Palm. Bill, the number one coach in the Big Ten is Mark D'Antonio. Well, I think if we're going to broaden this thing out and go historic, you could throw him in there now that Urban Meyer's gone. But D'Antonio's last 3 years, two of them have been not a good look. Matter of fact, a couple years ago, they went 3-9. And their offense crashed and burned this year. It is a catastrophe how bad it was. So the resume is not being updated right now by Coach Mark D'Antonio. Now, I'm generally a big fan of his. Don't get me misunderstood here. I am a D'Antonio liker. I'm not anti-Mark D'Antonio at all. But, yeah, Hobie checking back in. Says, Bill, love listening to Landry. Said, I've semi-retired and I moved to Northeast Georgia near Lake Burton like Saban. Yeah, he when Saban is on his rare vacation on the lake, he'll see him at the church down there on Sundays. He goes on to say, Bill, I've been to South Bend. Yeah, I know you went there last year for the Georgia game. And he says, I've been to the Holy Rose Bowl. He said, I'll be back with the show soon. Yeah, Hobie's a good friend down there. Located all those years in Peachtree City. And happy for you, sir. What else do we have here on Twitter before we have to get the break? Says Hawkeye Jason, in 07, Bill, Michigan was looking at hiring Ferentz. Problem was Ferentz had back-to-back non-winning seasons in 06 and 07. Yeah, I get it. I mean, I Harbaugh is a hard guy to like. He is. Now, if you're a Michigan fan, I get you being protective there because that's your guy. I understand that. That's every school's like that. Every fans at schools are all the same in that category typically. But he's a hard guy to. He's just different. He's strange. His demeanor is so odd. It's hard to figure him out. He is what he is. Nathan says Bill D'Antonio is 20-18. Since making the playoffs 3 years ago. Yeah, I'm glad you came up with that number. I didn't know what the record was overall last three, but I knew it couldn't have been much more than 500. Peter says, Black crushing that school up north in mid-season form. Yeah, now, Black, think about all the rivalries we have down here in the South and all the disputes. Alabama, Auburn, Florida, Tennessee, when they're both right. Georgia, Auburn. LSU, Alabama. Florida, Florida State. Clemson, South Carolina. Clemson, Florida State. Miami, Florida State. All these various, the Egg Bowl. All these various fan bases who don't like another one or don't like several other ones, whatever it is. Black is right there with you. In his obsession of Michigan. Doesn't like him, won't compliment him, and doesn't apologize for it either. And right now, he's pretty much right. Now, he trashes Michigan to an extreme that I won't, because I don't think it's as bad as he's laying it out. But if the general theme is they're not what they're supposedly supposed to be, then that is true. Yeah, that part is accurate. I have pretty much lost faith that Harbaugh will take Michigan to celebratory heights. I had that thinking for a while. I can't hang on to it right now. He's done nothing to back up those feelings. So I can't go there. You got to eventually show me something. You got to prove it. We can sit here and talk about it, but you've got to update it. You got to give me some substance. Michigan's not done that. Not to that level. Okay, let's get one more break here in hour number two. No more guesting. We are clean the rest of the way to just hang out. 888-702-5494. Twitter at Bill is King. And if you do want to email, BillIsKing7@gmail.com. Presented by a place where we will be pretty nearby tomorrow. We'll be at the Southern, but just around the corner, the Omni Nashville Hotel.
On I-40 West, a wreck after Whitebridge Pike. I-65 northbound, a crash at Murfreesboro Road. Vietnam vets seeing another collision at Conference Drive, the second in 2 hours. The I-40 Eastern split and Lebanon Pike both slowed. I-65 is jammed north of Trinity. Make a living with a career that makes a difference. Aim high, the United States Air Force. Log on to airforce.com. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
Hello, I'm Tom Hodges of Goggin Cold Hall, a regional refrigerated company that operates within a 500-mile radius of our home in Smyrna, Tennessee. We're seeking professional drivers to join our family-owned business. Our number one priority of serving our customers is by taking care of our employees first. With a $1,000 sign-on bonus plus a driver referral program, Goggin Cold Hall offers an excellent benefit package with a 401k retirement plan, paid vacations and holidays, insurance options, and a competitive pay structure that includes weekly, monthly, and quarterly bonuses. No Northeast travel, no touch freight, and with our late model Freightliner and Kenworth equipment, we promise to treat you in a first-class manner. If you're interested in joining our family at Goggin Cold Hall, please visit www.goggincold.com. That's www.goggincold.com or call us at 931-225-3873. That's Goggin Cold Hall, the coldest team in town.
I'm Dan Piotrowski, general manager of the Omni Nashville Hotel. I want to personally invite you to experience the local flavor of Music City at our award-winning property. From our one-of-a-kind culinary outlets to the ultimate luxury of our full-service Mokara Spa, Omni Nashville offers something for everyone. Whether it's the biscuit bar in our Southern-inspired Kitchen Notes restaurant, or our upscale honky-tonk bar lines, or if you prefer a romantic dinner with that someone special, visit Bob's Steak and Chop House. Come on down and see us at 250 Fifth Avenue South, located in the heart of the SoBro District.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-park. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on the Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and we've got tons of headlines this week. The Rolex 24 is on the horizon, and the Daytona 500 is under 40 days away now. Lots of racing coming up soon. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, I'm Justin Allgaier, and you're on the Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And check us out at facebook.com/thefinalap. We'd appreciate it. Every single weekday right here.
Bill King doesn't need a countdown clock because he already knows when football season starts.
Omni Nashville Hotel, Vince points out Michigan is 38-14 under Harbaugh. That's not a disaster. It's not championship level, but it's not just an unmitigated disaster either. Now, will that be, if that percentage sustains, will there be a point where they need to go in a new direction? Because that won't be good enough. Michigan ought to be about championships. Temple 8-7-0-2-5-4-9-4. Couple of things, and I'll get the call up here. Karen, talking about Texas losing players. She says, Texas, you said good shape at quarterback. All three in the portal. Those are the backups, recruits, etc. But players there. They do have a recruit in the class of 19, a quarterback. Well, they're in good shape because they got Sam Ellinger. He gets hurt. What are they going to do? Well, that's a good question. That's unclear. Correct. That's something we don't have a good answer for. But, I mean, you can judge depth and be openly critical about it, which is fair. It's fair game. And you can also look at the players who actually play. The quarterback there is Sam Ellinger. Shane Bouchel is gone. A couple other backups are gone. The rising kid. But as far as their lineup is concerned, they are in good shape at quarterback. Al Equipa Bob is with us. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Bill. Good morning.
Hey, there was, I don't know if you were, I don't know if you remember this, in the, it's probably about 79 or 80, Tennessee signed two players out of Aliquippa because Johnny Majors obviously had the connection there with Tony Dorsett, and it was offensive lineman Kurt Singer and Glenn Streno. Do you go back that far? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. In fact,
Kurt Singer and Glenn Streno.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to meet Kurt Singer a couple of times. He was, oh, he's a very, very good friend of my cousin.
Does he live up there now?
Yeah,
did he move back?
Pardon me?
He moved back there. He lives up there now?
I don't know where he's living at, but he went to Hopewell.
Correct.
High School, which is just next to Aliquippa. And he was good friends with my cousin. I mean, they hunted together, and I remember correctly, and a lot of that kind of stuff. So, you know, I don't know if they're still friends now or not, but I had a chance to meet the young man. But he was a pretty good tackle, wasn't he, Bill?
Yeah, about 6'5", 270, 280. You know, back then, the linemen were about 270, 280. So.
Yeah, big, tough, red-haired kid.
Right. Right.
As I remember. I'm sorry, the other kid's name was?
Glenn Streno. He was a smaller interior offensive lineman that I don't know if he, when he ever started at Tennessee. He was a little bit, he wasn't the same prospect. Same school, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know that young man. I don't remember much about him, but Kurt Singer, he was all everything up here when he played ball at Hopewell. So he was a big name, big time recruit, that's for sure.
So what's up?
Bill, I'm impressed. You're doing your research well.
Well, I remember that one because he was up there with, I was there at the same time, so I will remember that.
All right. So that's your connection.
Yeah. I ran into him at the bars up in Knoxville, so I knew him. So.
Oh yeah, good guy. You really well-spoken, at least from what I remember of him anyway. And he was a few years younger than I was, so, but, yeah. Hey, Bill, I gotta kind of agree with Black, my man Black. Saying Harbaugh is the best coach in the Big Ten, I don't know, Bill. You know, Michigan really was exposed at the end of the season with their lack of team speed. And we've talked about that. I got to wonder if you Michigan has a name, Bill. They're a brand. And when he goes in, he has to have a big, big, big recruiting edge just because he is Michigan. I mean, they're a good academic institution. You look at a guy like a Kirk Ferentz. I mean, if you ask me who's the best coach in the Big Ten, right now I'm thinking either Kirk Ferentz or Pat Fitzgerald, because they do the most with the least, and then maybe I'm putting D'Antonio behind them, just barely behind them, and then you go from there. Harbaugh to me just has not fulfilled. It's like he's trying to institute and force an old 80s or 90s offensive system into the college game today, whether it's from the pros or whether it's from college. He's trying to do that power, I'm just going to line up and I'm going to run you over. And the Big Ten proved for years that power against speed, speed's going to win, because the SEC just dominated them for years in the bowl games. So it seems like that's what he's trying to do, and maybe you can comment on it. Am I wrong about that, or
seems a bit antiquated? Yeah, I know. I'm with you. I still think you can play tough guy football, but how far will that take you? Will that take you all the way through the playoffs? And the answer is, I don't think so. Yeah, you're going to have to be athletic too, and they're a little short there.
And for years, Bill, to me the difference was the SEC was always faster on the offensive and defensive lines. I mean, I think team speed at the skill positions was about the same. But the offensive and defensive lines, that's where they excelled. And I think the Big Ten's trying to catch up in those areas. It's difficult because you do have the weather conditions up here, but you need fast and power on the lines.
Right.
And Michigan, to me, just watching them, I just get this feeling that I'm watching Stanford from the 80s. You know what I mean? Or the 90s.
Right.
So I don't see Harbaugh. I see him maybe Has the man accomplished a lot? Yes. Am I knocking him? No. And by the way, I guess the kid he had to sleep over with, I guess he threw him off the team, Quinn Norton.
Gone. That kicker, he's gone.
So anyway, I guess that Bays don't have a sleepover with Harbaugh. But I don't know. I think the man's a good coach, a very good coach. I just don't think he's, you know, best in the Big Ten. And I don't think Franklin's a better coach than Harbaugh either. I got to disagree with Black on that. I think Franklin has a way to go.
Be good, so, bud.
Okay, Bill. Take care.
Thank you. Al Quip of Bob right there. Hour three coming up. And plenty of hangout time. 888-702-5494. Twitter at Bill is King. We'll be at the Southern tomorrow doing the show. And Brad Bowers will be with us in hour number three. Southern Steak and Oyster just around the corner from the Omni.